245. Heart technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Hi, this is Michael Golden. Voice of Many Waters Ministry would like to invite you to join my wife, Danette, and I for a special night of Messianic praise and worship music. The time is Saturday, January the 19th at 7 p.m. And the place? 3J's Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown, Colorado. A love offering will be taken at the door. You can call 1-800-205-6245 for more information or 970-587-5267. See you there. Shalom.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Well, good morning. Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. And this morning we're going to be talking about the United States military. And, you know, why do men fight? What motivates people to fight to risk their lives? You can give them all the training you want to, but there's got to be something within them that they believe in something enough that they are willing to risk their lives. And, of course, in most instances, that is their relationship with God. Well, unfortunately, there is a conspiracy against Christianity today. There's a desire to destroy Christianity, and certainly in the life of the average American, but there's also a conspiracy within the military to undermine the religious beliefs of our people, and by so doing, you undermine the fighting capacity of our military. Those of you who subscribe to my newsletter will find my December letter, I think, quite interesting. It's a talk that was given by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez in October of last year, and where he talks about the war in Iraq. He was the commander of the coalition forces from June of 2003 to June of 2004, and he lays it out very clearly that we're fighting a no-win war there. We're not being allowed to win, but more than that, he talks about the fact that it'll take us a decade to repair the United States military from the devastation of what has actually transpired in Iraq. But even more serious than that is what Colonel Ray is going to talk about this morning, and that is the effort to undermine Christianity and religious belief among our people. Because if you destroy the religious belief of our people, you can bring in all the new men you want to, and you can bring in all the new and fancy equipment. But, of course, men who do not believe in God are not, as a whole, going to be willing to risk their lives in battle. So with that as a background, Colonel Ray, please. Colonel Ray, of course, was formerly Assistant Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. He's a retired Marine Corps colonel and certainly a good friend. Colonel, thank you so much for being with us.
Stan, it's always a privilege to be with you. You know, it's you're right about why men fight, and it's certainly one of the things that I believed when I went in the Pentagon in 1984 to work for Caspar Weinberger in the Reagan administration, that the things that really count in the military can't be counted. That is, the intangibles matter more than the tangibles. And that's been said by all the great captains, not only American, but down through successful militaries all along. And virtue is a very big part of that. Let me say this about the military. You've heard me say this, and maybe your listeners who've heard me before say it, but it's an interesting place to start as to why I've concentrated so much of my attention on the founding principles of the American military, and it goes all the way back to hearings on the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Military in 1992, and they were held all over the country back when the conservative view was that men and women are profoundly different, and that difference has significant military impact on the armed forces. That was the conservative view, but under this administration, we've got, you know, something approaching 90 plus young American women who've come home in a body bag, and at least 8 others, and you're not hearing anything from the conservative pro-family movement or the Republican Party on that. Although in 92, that was the position, and it was the Clinton administration and others that were pushing for women in combat. But during those hearings, following up the sexual abuse crisis that the military experienced in the 80s and early 90s, the Tailhook scandal was the one that the media made the most out of out in Las Vegas. These hearings were being held, and there were a lot of people put on the presidential commission by Dick Cheney, who recommended all 15 of the commissioners. 14 of those had already taken a position on women in combat.
Sure, but no, you were on that commission.
I was, and what happened is it got to the Bush 1 White House, and there were Americans in the presidential personnel office, and that kicked five of the worst Cheney nominees off, and put five of us on who were either had a completely open mind or already understood the profound differences between the sexes. And it's important for people to think about that for a minute, because nobody screams discrimination when American men and women are separated in high school sports, in college sports, in professional sports, and in Olympic sports. And it's because of the profound differences between men and women in combat. I can assure you, and I'm sure among your listeners, you've got a lot of veterans. They know that combat's a lot more demanding than any sport. But in those hearings, which a lot of interesting information came out, in August of 1992, there were hearings held in Los Angeles. And these hearings were widely publicized in all forms of the media because the penultimate goal of the group wanting to put, from both the Republican and Democratic sides, to put women in combat was women in combat aircraft, the Amelia Earhart. That was the hood ornament on their utopian view of radical equality. And during those hearings, David Horowitz testified. And it's really one of the most profound moments in my life, because he basically said, I'm a Bolshevik. I was raised in a Bolshevik home. I was dedicated to the overthrow and destruction of America and the subversion of all of its institutions. And again, this is subject to the penalties of perjury. And if media's in the room and 15 presidential commissioners chaired by retired former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and he said, by the late 60s, we'd actually undermined all of your institutions, except the armed forces. And he said, we decided that promoting women in combat and homosexuals in the military was the best way to finish the job on the armed forces. And when he said that, I realized that I was looking at somebody who'd been the real enemy during the Vietnam War, the domestic enemy here at home. And it was when I decided to work on the book and finish the book that became Military Necessity and Homosexuality, which came out in December of 92. Because it was clear to me that was going to, women in combat and homosexuals in the military were going to be a big issue when the Clinton administration happened. No matter who was elected, they were going to push it. But it's an interesting, after he spoke and after that part of the hearing was over, I went over and introduced myself to him, and we spoke for a few minutes, and I asked
David Horowitz,
who's a commentator regularly on Fox News and is portrayed as a conservative, and of course he certainly would be a neoconservative, as that term is better understood in the last 6 or 8 years. But in other words, he's viewed as a conservative by an awful lot of folks that get their view of the world from Fox News.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray, talking about the presidential commission he was on, and we'll be right back in a moment.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Some churches believe that Christians will be raptured before the coming of the Great Tribulation. Have you heard this teaching? Have you wondered if it was true? The Watchman's Cry is an interesting book by Obadiah Frank that uses the Bible and clearly explains that this teaching is not true. You can get the Watchman's Cry from the American Freedom Network by calling 1-800-205-6245. This amazing book is only $10 postpaid. Get it now by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Bible teacher and author of various publications on the Hebraic roots of the Messianic biblical faith, Eddie Chumney will be speaking in Johnstown two special nights, January 15th and 16th.
also featuring the Intercourt Hebraic Dance Group. Pizza and Subways will be free. The location is the Johnstown Community Building, 101 West Charlotte, across from the KHNC radio station. Call the radio station for more information at 970-587-5175.
KHNC brings you another exciting meet and greet Sunday, January 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. here at the KHNC studios in Johnstown. Meet with MagnetiCare developer Bob Kirschbaum as he conducts a workshop on the use of therapeutic magnets. And delight yourself with Jerusalem Imports as Dinah brings you authentic, one-of-a-kind imported products from Israel. Join us here Sunday afternoon, January 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. Call 800-205-6245 for more information. If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Colonel Ron Ray, is telling us about his experience on the Presidential Commission, 1992, apparently Las Vegas, going over to talk to David Horowitz, who came from a communist family. Certainly he supposedly is now a conservative, but he's really, of course, according to Colonel Ray, more of a neoconservative. Anyway, of course, he was revealing the background of the communist effort to subvert our country. So go right ahead.
Well, this is, again, out of his own mouth. And after I greeted him and we exchanged a few pleasantries, I said, I was quite taken by your testimony. And you said you had all our institutions. Tell me about the churches, the seminaries, denominations, and what have you. And then for a moment, I got this grin of the cat that had eaten the canary, satisfied grin. He said, "We got them first. They were the easiest." And that was a very, very, very dramatic moment for me.
And, of course, he's talking about the churches, the seminaries, the Christian religion, as we know it, was altered by these subversive elements.
No, what? That's exactly right. And you go back and look at some of the early people that came out of the communist movement, Bella Dodd, Whitaker Chambers, many of them all said similar things. And it's interesting, if you look at the work you've done, Dr. Stan, which is remarkable, and in terms of pulling together essentially what happened in the 20th century, going all the way back to the creation of the great foundations and the hearings the Reese Committee had and all that, and you realize that while America was being undone, from within, and undemocratic changes, whether anybody wants to accept the notion of conspiracies or not, but you can say there have been many undemocratic changes the American people have not acquiesced in to our civil government, our public institutions, our laws, and what have you. And so this gets to be very important, because one of the most successful groups, going back to the end of World War One in America, has been organized religion. Of all denominations, they've built enormous buildings, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, radio, television, and all this kind of thing. They've been enormously successful, and if Horowitz is true, that needs a real careful look. And I realized that his statement that the armed forces still had its original biblical foundation still intact, I concentrated a lot of my attention over the last 16 years to bring forward attention to the founding principles of the American military. It's interesting to note that despite the radical changes that have occurred throughout America and its public institutions and way of life, that when the Department of Defense under Rumsfeld took a survey of the religious preferences of those in our armed forces in 2003, and it was published in 2004, no surprise to me, but it probably surprised many, because I think that an increasingly secular society and secular institutions are apparent everywhere, but 98.4% of those who expressed a religious preference in this far-ranging survey across the services, across the ranks, 98.4% expressed that their religious preference was one of the forms of Christianity. So essentially, the American military, as it goes back, go all the way back to the founding period in the 1770s, the makeup of the American military is Christian, at least, is expressing support of Christianity and the belief in Christianity. And that's why the pressures brought against the armed forces and Christianity in the armed forces in the last 6 years will surprise many of your listeners and surprise that it has been a great thing. And then some of the conservative leaders are also promoting the pluralism project. And let me give you something that will surprise your listeners. As recently as February of 1954, Time magazine reported on the first prayer breakfast, national prayer breakfast, held in Washington, D.C. at the Mayflower Hotel there on Connecticut Avenue. And I know you've been there, Stan, when we've been together at the Council for National Policy. It's a distinguished old hotel. It's still there. The President, Eisenhower, Vice President Nixon, all the members of the Cabinet, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Supreme Court justices, and official Washington turned out 600 strong for this first national prayer breakfast, you know, and they had a sturdy breakfast, and Senator Frank Carlson of Kansas called the meeting to order, and the annual prayer breakfast with an international council for Christian leadership got down to its purpose. And at the end of the day, when this was in, you wouldn't believe the statements, and this is still available. You can get it online, published Time magazine, Monday, February 15th, 1954, breakfast in Washington. But this is what the last speaker said. The last speaker was Chief Justice Earl Warren, who was raised as a Methodist and announced that, frequently currently attended Baptist services with his wife. And this is what he said, 1954. Quote, "I believe no one can read the history of our country without realizing that the good book and the spirit of the Savior have from the beginning been our guiding geniuses. Whether we look to the first charter of Virginia, or to the charter of New England, or to the charter of Massachusetts Bay, or to the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same objective is present, a Christian land governed by Christian principles." And if you the Christian history and pointing towards the biblical foundations, Old and New Testament, the only nation built from the ground up on the Old and New Testaments, the United States, and the Supreme Court held four times between 1844 and 1931 that America was in law, fact, and history a Christian nation, and not because you had to be a Christian to be here, or not because the founders were all Orthodox Christians, most of whom they were, but because the fixed principles on the Old and New Testament, or as they said, the Ten Commandments was the precedent legal code upon which American law and civil government were based, that was the foundation. Now we hear what's going on in the last decade, and even currently, has been a great attempt to suppress the notion that America ever was a Christian nation, to suppress the notion. And you hear pluralism talked about, and you hear it talked about by people identified as a conservative. I was stunned to read a book review recently by Dr. Richard Land, who is the head of about a book he had published, and he had commented on his own book that he said, while it is true, America was not founded as a Christian nation. Not founded as a Christian nation. And under Matthew 18, and I know Richard, and you know Richard, we've both been at many meetings with him, and I've worked with him on different projects, so I called him on the phone because I guess he hadn't seen those historical things that I've accumulated over the last 16 or 17 years. And let me say to your listeners that I was second in my class in law school. I went to as well educated as you can be in both military and civilian colleges and courses. I'm a distinguished graduate of the National Defense University, and as I say, second in my class in law school. And I was never taught. I went to the NATO War College in Latimer, England, and Command and Staff College, and all this kind of. I never learned about the biblical foundations of American law and civil government, and including the military. I was never taught that. And so here, as recently as 1954, when we were all, many of us older guys were alive and well, Time magazine could report on the National Prayer Breakfast, where the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, called a liberal and many other things, could actually declare unequivocally that we are a Christian land governed by Christian principles. Yet now we have folks like Dr. Richard Land and many others talking about pluralism in public life, and we see within the military, which still has those founding principles intact, maybe the last public institution that has them intact, we see them under attack under this conservative, so-called compassionate conservative administration, where there's supposed to be many, many believers. But I've contacted Richard under Matthew 18. I called him on the phone and got no return. I sent him an email and got no return. And I sent him a letter with all the historical background in case he was being misled, and I heard nothing from him despite four or five efforts to reach him. So I'm concerned that even within, to the point that David Horowitz made, we got them first, they were the easiest. We can point out today many within the leadership of the so-called organized religion, the body of Christ, if you will, Haggard, who was head of the National Association of Evangelicals, a pastor from Colorado Springs, Colorado, during a debate that most Americans are unaware of, when the name of Jesus Christ being prayed in prayers in his name was front and center in the debate over the defense budget, and the whole defense budget was held up about a year and a half ago in Washington, D.C., no attention being paid within the these churches and church organizations. But John Warner held up a letter from Rumsfeld and a letter from Haggard, Pastor Haggard, both saying about the same thing, that praying in the name of Jesus Christ in the military, where 98.4% of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Guardsmen profess Christianity, is unnecessary and divisive. And Warner held it up on the floor of the Senate, and the only support for Christian prayer in the military didn't come from the White House, it didn't come from the Pentagon, it didn't come from the United States Senate. It came in the House of Representatives, and the two stalwarts are Walter Jones, a Catholic from North Carolina, congressman, and Duncan Hunter, a Baptist from out in San Diego, California. And they led the fight, and they stood as firm as they could against particularly what they were doing in the Air Force and the Navy. And I'm sitting here saying it's too bad that the American people aren't paying attention, and that they're listening many times to sheep's to wolves in sheep's clothing, who are misleading them about the foundations of this country, and which means anything goes in terms of utopian change for the future and fundamental change in American law and civil government that we've experienced in the last decades to such a degree.
And I just comment, of course, that Haggard was a hypocrite. Haggard was a homosexual and a drug user posing as a minister. And everybody says, oh, we just got to forgive him. He's a good Christian that just has a little weakness. No, he was there specifically to undermine Christianity. And when a letter arrives from the man who heads a 30 million Christian organization, the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard, headed that organization and used his position to undermine Christianity.
Well, and that
nobody wants to say that, oh, no, poor guy, you know, he just was a little misled. No, he wasn't misled. He was there to destroy Christianity. How important his letter was in getting prayer in the name of Jesus out of the military.
Well, it certainly was persuasive among senators, and he'd been in that position for over 5 years. It's interesting that the these transgressions you mentioned, these predilections, sodomy with male prostitutes and drugs and whatnot, came to light less than 30 days after the event that I just described. And a very interesting. I mean, one thing important about biblical-based Christianity is that we're accountable, and we are accountable. And he purported to represent evangelicals in Washington, D.C. for years. And if you go on their website, the National Association of Evangelicals website, you will see when you look under their notion about religious freedom and separation of church and state, that the principles of government. It could have been written by the ACLU. The citations are not to this biblical history that I'm referring to, four U.S. Supreme Court cases from 1844 to 1931. Recently, at 31, the U.S. Supreme Court held as a matter of law, fact, and history, we are indeed a Christian nation. That instead of citing that, they cite Supreme Court cases, recent Supreme Court cases of ACLU successes, using the notion of separation of church and state to drive God out of government, and certainly to drive Jesus Christ out of public schools and the Word of God out of public schools and out of many of other our institutions. Let me just read from one of those. The most important one was February 29th, 1892. 400 years of American history was looked at by the Supreme Court over several years. This case was not lightly. It was briefed and argued to the court several times because they had an opportunity to look all the way back to 1492.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Colonel Ron Ray talking about the attack on Christianity.
Discover MagnetiCare cell-activating liquid complex and RX magnets for a healthier life. Tom Martino and the Broncos know what works when you need to reduce swelling and inflammation, eliminate chronic pain, increase blood circulation, and aid in the healing process. Get your fast-acting MagnetiCare liquid complex, cream, or RX magnets now. Call Bob at 303-388-1227. That's 303-388-1227. www.magneticare.net.
This is Ann Johnson. For 14 years, I've owned Brightside Natural Health. The prophecies of Revelation are being fulfilled at an amazing rate, and the kingdom of God is at hand. My passion is to follow God's command to heal the sick and share the reality of Jesus Christ. God faithfully shows me effective, life-changing products like Vital PSP. PSP helps the body heal itself the way God intended. God promises to be present in the midst of your storm. Stop the storm and enjoy God's abundant health. Call me at 303-833-2784.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Many Christians have health problems that hinder their quality of life and their ministry. The Green Herb is offering you an opportunity to help these hurting Christians. You can have your own Green Herb home business for just $950. This includes inventory, training, samples, and everything you need to get started. This is not network marketing. It's a genuine opportunity to build a business. How do I know? Linda and I started in our home almost 15 years ago, and we would like to help you start your own herbal business. We are not looking for high-profile salespeople, just someone who loves the Lord and wants to help his people. For more information, call me, Tom Phillips, at 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. I'm looking forward to your call, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
How many of you battle the symptoms of failing health with toxic medications and inconvenient supplements? Do you feel like you've been fighting battles but losing the war? How about winning the war for a change? Introduce BioSuperfood in your diet and increase the metabolic activity of each cell in your body for greater repair, detoxification, and regeneration. Gain immediate energy, boost your immune system, and restore your health with extraordinary whole and organic nutrients in BioSuperfood. Win the war against disease. Call now, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Colonel Ron Ray. And Colonel, before we go on, would you like to get out your web page so people would know how to get in touch with your ministry?
Yeah, they first, I am a sort of a senior volunteer for a group that's trying to restore the teaching of real history, particularly the history that points to why America's national motto is "In God We Trust" and why the Supreme Court held we were a Christian nation. And the website is it will help you get in touch. touch with us. Some of the newer things we're doing, we found out that those that don't wish us well pay more attention to our website than those that would wish us well. But it's First Principles Press, First Principles, L-E-S, firstprinciplespress.org, firstprinciplespress.org, and they can reach me at Colonel Ray, C-O-L-R-A-Y, Colonel Ray, at A-Y-E, A-Y-E.net, A-Y-E.net.
Okay, fine. And certainly Colonel Ray is a wonderful source of information, has some great books there. You need to understand that Christianity in the military is under attack. Of course, Christianity is under attack all across our country. They know exactly what they're doing. Because if you can destroy the faith of the people, if you can destroy the faith of the military, you can destroy the foundation of our nation and our military organization. And boy, they're certainly out to do that today. Go ahead, go right ahead, Colonel.
What I was saying is that the 1892 case, Holy Trinity Church versus United States, which was a real case in controversy, it wasn't one of these orchestrated cases the way the ACLU and these humanist radical activist groups, who they create a controversy like Lawrence versus Texas, was an artificial case that should have never been allowed in the courts because it was not a real case in controversy. But in any event, this case was real case in controversy, and it caused the court to have to look at the nature of the United States form of government and source of its laws, and they took the opportunity to investigate hundreds of organic utterances. Now, that's a word that lawyers today would not understand, men of government wouldn't understand, of course, pastors wouldn't understand it. But an organic utterance is an official utterance, like the Declaration of Independence, like the Bill of Rights, the Articles of Confederation, the U.S. Constitution. When someone authorized to act, acts in their official capacity on a matter that they necessarily must decide. And they went back 400 years to 1492. The first organic utterance was the charter from Queen Isabella and Ferdinand to Christopher Columbus for his voyage. And they said that we've looked at hundreds and hundreds of organic utterances for 400 years, and there's not a single document, not a historic document, to the contrary. And they held that, they held essentially that from the discovery of this continent, 1492, to the present hour, 1892, there is a single voice making this affirmation that this is a Christian nation. We find everywhere a clear recognition of the same truth. And as recently as our lives in the mid-50s, when Time magazine could report on that first prayer breakfast, a Christian land governed by Christian principles, articulated by Chief Justice Earl Warren in the presence of the leadership of both parties and the entire government in 1954, this was a settled principle, and now we can have a leader of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Foundation, which is the action arm of the entire Southern Baptist Convention, can publish a book arguing for pluralism and can actually say, it is true that America was not founded as a Christian nation, and that is something that people need to know about. Let me give you one other example, and then we'll talk a little bit about the prayer fight in the military. When General MacArthur was successful and a strong Christian, very successful in World War II, and then, of course, the Incheon landing when he didn't reveal his plans that were being leaked so often through the United Nations to the Soviet Union and thus to China and whatnot. When he was successful at Incheon and won the first Korean War against the North Korean troops, it's very interesting. There's an official book, but it's very hard to find now. It was published as recently as 1977, Confidence in Battle, Inspiration in Peace, published by the United States Office of Military Chaplains, United States Army, officially paid for with government expense, okay? And they account that when the liberation of Korea's capital in Seoul is recorded, General MacArthur spoke from his training and belief that the spiritual condition of any nation determines the outcome of wars. And after speaking and liberating Seoul, Korea, the general was asked to address the president of Korea and a large assembly of the leadership of South Korea. And this is what MacArthur said. Mr. President, by the grace of a merciful providence, our forces have liberated this ancient capital city of Korea. He said, there's a spiritual revulsion against communism, and concluded his remarks by leading the entire assembly in the Lord's Prayer. 1 month later, a chaplain published news of an imminent victory, that is, the destruction of the North Korean forces before the Second Korean War started when the Chinese came in. And it's interesting that the Koreans wanted MacArthur to address that assembly because they recognized that the God of the United States of America, a Christian nation, had power and gave them power on the battlefield and success on the battlefield, and they wanted to know more about Christianity. And the chief of Korean chaplains addressed his graduating class at the chaplain training school, and this is all in an official government document published in 1977. This war has given us a spiritual revival in Korea. And there is a very strong, it has been for 50 years, there's been a fairly strong Christian church in across South Korea. And it's an interesting thing that General MacArthur didn't hesitate, five-star general, commander-in-chief, to lead those leaders of South Korea after the liberation of Seoul. And where is that story in our law schools and in our diplomatic schools, in our colleges and universities, in our public schools? Where is that great story right out of a published during the Carter administration by the United States government and distributed at government expense? Where is that? Why is it being suppressed? Why don't our leaders, at least of church, why don't our leaders of the conservative cause, the pro-family movement, why don't they point to these things? Well, maybe it's not a good business plan, but it's essential to success in a battle plan. And what's going on in this country has more to do with the judgment beginning at the house of God. And while the church has grown materially and physically and raised hundreds of millions of dollars and has great so-called ministries, and they've built lots of buildings, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, as the Lord says. And so if there's not a revival has happened there in South Korea after Incheon. If there's not a revival, then we're history, because there's not a political solution. There's certainly no solution like we had, because our Declaration of Independence grew out of a great awakening, a revival in early 18th century America called the Great Awakening, with great preaching, and many people returned to God, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Right off the Liberty Bell, I can assure your listeners, Stan, that we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And after that revival, there was a political outworking of what had begun as a spiritual revival in Christianity, a revival in the hearts of many Americans.
Amen to that. Jonathan Edwards and Wesley and those other great ministers led to this great awakening that led to our revolution of the Declaration. We'll be right back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. If you enjoy alternative stations on the radio, shouldn't your TV service provide the same choices? You can get more channels than you have now, plus many more Christian and family programs in crystal clear 100% digital picture and sound, and the price is significantly lower than cable. Just call American Satellite at 970-443-7375. Already enjoying satellite TV but want a lower price? We can help you too. Packages start at only $19.99 a month. Call 970-443-7375. DVRs in high definition also available.
More than 31 million Americans have some type of hearing problem. Only 1 in 5 will seek help. Do you frequently misunderstand conversations? Do you often ask people to repeat what they're saying? Do your ears ring? If you're the one who's always turning up the volume on the TV or the radio, maybe it's time to get a hearing evaluation by a professional, certified, caring audiologist. Call Michelle at the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688. That's the Columbine Hearing Center, 303-857-6688.
KHNC brings you another exciting meet and greet Sunday, January 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. here at the KHNC studios in Johnstown. Meet with MagnetiCare developer Bob Kirschbaum as he conducts a workshop on the use of therapeutic magnets. And delight yourself with Jerusalem Imports as Dinah brings you authentic, one-of-a-kind imported products from Israel. Join us here Sunday afternoon, January 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. Call 800-205-6245 for more information.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Colonel Ron Ray. And we're talking about the attack on Christianity, specifically in the military, and the idea that prayer in the future will not mention the name of Jesus. After all, that might offend some people. Go right ahead, Colonel.
Well, there's a lot of pressures on him. If your listeners are interested, I delivered an address to the American Family Association of Florida last February on the suppression of the official and permanent history of American law and civil government, 1920 to 2007, and I'd be happy to make that available to them. You'll appreciate, Stan, that I started out with a David Horowitz quote. I said, David Horowitz in the Jewish World Review, July 2000, said, "Our nation's heritage is under attack in our classroom, so why doesn't anybody care?" And of course, I believe that was a report to the radicals who've been successful, but that's what he said. Our nation's heritage is under attack in our classroom, so why doesn't anybody care? And then I went from there to report on the findings of the Reese Committee. In the Reese Committee findings, there was a specific finding of the Congressional Committee 5354 and the official report foundations that the big foundations have supported, quote, conscious distortion of our history, conscious distortion of our history. And so I have sort of summarized some key elements in that. And there's been people like David McCullough, who was skull and bones from Yale, but been a pretty decent historian. He's certainly a popular historian writing about John Adams, the Panama Canal, many things about history, but he gave a very important speech in October of 2002 at the Smithsonian Institution and at the National Book Fair in conjunction with the Library of Congress. And this is what he said. He's speaking to a national audience. It was on C-SPAN. Many activists watch C-SPAN as much as they can. And he said, "We're raising a generation of historical illiterates. This historical ignorance is dangerous to American liberty." And then he said, "We face a foe today who believes in enforced ignorance. We don't." And, of course, the folks that you've written about and the folks that Carol Reese wrote about and the Carol Quigleys and all these kinds of people who acted to undermine and subvert American law and institutions in an undemocratic fashion are the foe today who believes in enforced ignorance. We don't. And they're not any, you won't find among them Muslims of any kind, radical or otherwise. You won't find Islamic money involved in that effort over the last 90 years to do that. And there's a trail of truth there about who did it. And here's a man standing up on national television telling a national audience of the Library of Congress and the Smithsonian Institution, with the librarian of James Billington standing there himself, who himself wrote a history of what could only be called a conspiracy between 1750 and 1900, fire in the minds of men. And he said, "We face a foe today in America who believes in enforced ignorance. We don't." And
well,
always,
I get a copy of that speech you gave to the American Family Association. I think that's something that might be very, very important.
Well, it is a very, it was well received, and I tell you, there were people in tears, and it was instead of I wasn't the after dinner entertainment. Most of the time you get an after dinner speech, and it's a good audience of dedicated people, because the previous year Jeb Bush, the governor of Florida, had been their keynote speaker, and I was happy to have an eminent place to speak from. But people had the right response. You know, so many times after dinner speakers, everybody applauds, and you're the after dinner entertainment. But I delivered a sober, hard hitting message. Why was Stephen stoned, first major martyr of the church? He was stoned for giving the lawyers, scribes, and Pharisees who would listen. He was stoned for giving them a history lesson. They didn't like the history, and they not only stoned him, they actually bit upon his flesh. And when I put that together, there's a book that Catherine Millard has written, and I'm sure you carry that in your ministry, Stan, of the rewriting of America's history, and it's a very important book, and she's got some useful materials in there. She was a Christian who was a tour guide, and she took us to people to Jamestown and to Washington, D.C., New York, up to Plymouth, and she Philadelphia, and she basically showed people the physical places of America's Christian history, the founding of the country, and she began to realize as she took people on these tours that the Christian, a lot of the physical evidence was disappearing. For example, in Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia, and I went up there in 2000 to specifically see it, that where the first prayer in Congress took place, and it was a 2.5 hour plus prayer. And men were crying out to God because they were up against the greatest army and navy in the world at that point in time, and Boston was about to be burned. And so there was a painting of that, because every one of the founders who was present was so moved by what occurred in that first prayer in Congress that they all wrote about it in their letters, correspondence, and memoirs and what have you. And so from that, there was where everybody was, what the physical descriptions were, who was on their knees, who was standing. And a famous painting was done in the 1840s of the first prayer in Congress, and the original, of course, was in the wall of Carpenter's Hall, and it was the importance of it was the first prayer in Congress took place there, and Catherine Millard found out that the painting was removed for cleaning early in the Clinton administration, and now the National Park Service, under the Department of the Interior, claims it's been misplaced. In other words, it's disappeared, and when you go up there, the brochure that they give you at the Carpenter's Hall, they talk about the architectural value of the Carpenter's Hall. They don't tell you that the first prayer in Congress took place there. And I went up there to speak to somebody in charge. I've come all the way from Kentucky to see this, where this first prayer in Congress occurred, and I asked her, and she was very embarrassed and shuffled her feet, because I said, I came to see the painting, and where is it? And she wouldn't even, she was a nice enough person that she wouldn't lie to my face. But I said, well, if it's been misplaced, I have a really fine reproduction that I would give you to display until you've located it. You know, and she said, well, you'll have to speak to the manager. You'll have to speak to the... And I mean, but where are our people? Well, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and a lack of knowledge of Christ who put his name in this land. And the enemies of Christ are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the Old Testament, the New Testament points out who those enemies are. And David Horowitz, David McCullough pointed out who those enemies really are today.
God bless you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Stan.
Bye-bye.
KHNC brings you another exciting meet and greet Sunday, January 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. here at the KHNC studios in Johnstown. Meet with MagnetiCare developer Bob Kirschbaum as he conducts a workshop on the use of therapeutic magnets. And delight yourself with Jerusalem Imports as Dyna brings you authentic, one-of-a-kind imported products from Israel. Join us here Sunday afternoon, January 27th from 1 to 4 p.m. Call 800-205-6245 for more information.
The American Freedom Network is not funded or supported by special interest groups or government programs. The American Freedom Network is not sponsored by advertisers demanding content or programming control. The American Freedom Network is solely funded by you, the listener. Please help keep the American Freedom Network on the air by purchasing one of our sponsors' fine products or by calling 1-800-205-6245 to make a donation. The American Freedom Network needs your help.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Bible teacher and author of various publications on the Hebraic roots of the Messianic biblical faith, Eddie Chumney will be speaking in Johnstown two special nights, January 15th and 16th, also featuring the Inner Court Hebraic Dance Group. Pizza and Subways will be free. The location is the Johnstown Community Building, 101 West Charlotte, across from the KHNC radio station. Call the radio station for more information at 970-587-5175.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, and I hope you enjoyed the discussion by Colonel Ray. I mean, I thought that was, I've heard this before, but I sat here spellbound. I always enjoy his presentation. A very dedicated man who's spending his life trying, of course, to influence the policies in our military, because if you destroy the religious faith of our military, you destroy our military. And that's what it's really all about. Well, certainly we hope that many of you out there would certainly want to know more about the Christian history of America. We carry the book, America's God and Country, and certainly by Bill Federer. We think it's an important book. I keep it right next to where I do my programs every day. We have the book Betrayed by the Bench by John Stormer, explaining how they were able to take God and prayer out of our schools, and this organized effort to undermine the very fabric of our society. We have a four-tape set about our foundations of our faith, which we recommend to you. And if you go to our webpage, you'll find many, many books that deal with the Christian history of America. So vitally important that you know these things and that you have the information at your fingertips, and you can discuss the Church of the Holy Trinity versus the United States. And actually, that's in one of my newsletters where I actually reproduce a great deal of that decision. So go to our website at radioliberty.com and look at the various newsletters we have. I agonize over every one of them, and yet each one of them is important. And pull those newsletters down and read them and reread them and read them again, and then check the sources of reference to make sure they're accurate. And if you ever find anything that isn't accurate, be sure to let me know. But I believe everything in all of those letters is accurate. And certainly Dr. Dennis Cuddy reads over those, and he lets me know if there isn't, if anything is specifically wrong or could have been improved. Dennis is a good friend. Under any circumstances, my ministry is listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our four best tapes of the month and our newsletter, or just subscribe to the newsletter, all of this will help us. And then if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. You need to, of course, listen to my talk on the forbidden secret to understand. And, of course, Forbidden Secret is a DVD. It also comes with a syllabus, which we recommend that you get as well. And then, of course, if you want to understand what we're doing in Iraq, you need to get my talk on Iraq, The Untold Story. And that comes with a syllabus, which we strongly recommend because it has many of the documents, because it covers all of the wars of the last century, and of course all of them were contrived for one purpose: to take us into a world government and a new world religion and a new world leader. And that's the common denominator behind everything going on today. I mean, we're not fighting over in Iraq simply for the oil or for Israel or because we want to protect the dollar. It all has to do with world government. It's a prelude to the coming war, with a third world war, which, of course, is going to be a terrible, terrible event, and I fear it's going to be a nuclear holocaust at that time. And God is going to bring judgment on this country. If people don't understand that, you cannot do the things that we have done. You cannot have men like Ted Haggard heading the 30 million strong now.